"Gather around my children," says an old man to his children. "I am on my deathbed. I do not have much longer to live. I want to give you the highlights of my life and perhaps some hearty eternal advice. 60 years ago, I was in Tampa for the Junior Olympics, and I won these medals in the 100-yard dash and in the long jump. But I went through the next 60 years feeling somewhat cheated, because I really was first place in miniature golf. Someone else altered the scorecards. And I went to high school in the Tampa area, where I played football at Armwood/Football High School. I lived with my Thea. She was like a second mother. So I just put mother next to her name, even though I didn't live in that district, so that I could play there. And I could win 2 state championships. In the Division 4A, because we all know in Florida there are 7 divisions, so there are really 7 state champions. But we were state champions, co-champions, 2 times. And I got these 2 rings. One of them is right here on my right finger. See, I blew it with my marriage, so I took that ring off a long time ago. And I have my high school championship ring here. And because I only have 1 place to put that ring, I put the other one around a chain on my neck, because I left the church so many years ago, partly because I was angry at the officiating at the Olympics. And I took off my cross and I put my 2nd championship ring on my chain. And so my children, actually my grandchildren, enjoy high school, because those are the best 4 years of your life. And when I die, don't take the rings off me. Leave them, so that when I go to the next place, I can proclaim for eternity that I was state championship 2 times. Go Hawks! Now, if that's your parting speech, it means you've had kind of a sad life. Because when you're 80 years old, or 85, or 90, and you're about to die, I hope you won't be talking about the Olympics in Tampa. I hope you won't be talking about your high school football team. I hope you'll be talking about something a little bit more important than that. Maybe how proud you are of your children, how faithful you were to your spouse, how dedicated you were to your career, and that you labored with honesty, not with cheating. Hopefully you'll be talking about your faith and your family in your dying breath. Having said that, what is the place of sports? Why do we play sports? Because sports, when played the right way, will help you in your family, and they will help you with your faith. Now, how is that? There are lots of good things that come out of sports, like teamwork, like commitment, like discipline, like effort, like attitude. Sports teaches these things. That's why it's good to play sports. If you have a commitment to your teammates and you learn what commitment means, I think that will help you later on to make a commitment to your marriage. If you have discipline in sports to work out every day, hopefully you'll have that the rest of your life. I guess I didn't play sports long enough. I've lost that discipline. Sports provides entertainment and fun. Gosh, our world is very, very stressful. It's nice to have a release, to go out and shoot baskets, go play volleyball, go swimming, go running. Those are very nice diversions and forms of entertainment, because if we didn't have regular life, it would just be a lot of work. Now, last night, especially for those who weren't here, we had a guest speaker who was a former player from the Tampa Lightning. And I asked him a question. I said, if you had a choice to play for a long period of time and not win, or you had a choice to play for a shorter period of time and win the Stanley Cup, which would you choose? And he said, I would rather play for the longer period of time. Why is that? Because you make more money that way. He was honest. And also because if you love playing, then you want to keep playing. Because sometimes loving the game and playing the game is more important than winning. He also told us, don't forego school. He said that many times. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You're always one knee injury or arm injury or some injury away from not being able to play sports. So stay in school. I have never understood why people play sports and they don't do well in school. And his last sentence was the most important of all. He said, don't forget to put your family first. Family is more important than a hockey game or just about anything else. And I would add an addendum to that. I would say put your faith first and put your family second. And then all the other things. I am a sports fan, and so I enjoyed watching the sports this weekend. And I read a lot of articles about sports, and it seems like in sports now we're reading articles about cheating, steroid use, football recruiting violations in high school, bounties in the NFL, and sports, this entertainment and fun, which obviously is also a big business, is losing its integrity. Because instead of competing so that the best person and the best effort can win, and taking pride in competing fairly, we're looking for whatever edge we can find, even if that edge is slightly illegal. Winning isn't everything. It's important. And obviously we compete for a reason. But the competing is what's important. In ancient Greece, in the ancient Olympics, the athlete was crowned not because he won, but because he competed, because he prepared himself and he competed with integrity, with honesty. That's why whoever won and whoever lost, they embraced each other, they shook hands with each other, they congratulated each other. They didn't taunt each other. They didn't say, in your face, I beat you down. Shook hands with each other, and they congratulated each other for a good effort. Now, family is important. And one of the things that I read recently about family is that when you go to college and you get a career, like being a lawyer or a doctor, you've got to go to college for many, many years in order to do that. You've got to take classes, you've got to get certification in order to do that. They don't just throw you out there one day and say, hey, go be a doctor. You'll figure it out. You gotta have years and years of experience and training in order to go and be a doctor. Now, not so when you're going to get married or start a family. You don't have to take a class. You don't have to get a degree in order to get married. We may require a few hours of pre-marriage counseling, but you don't have to go for 4 years to learn about getting married. There's no required classes if you want to have a child. So you just kind of get married, you have your children, and you just sort of figure it out. Can you imagine if we had doctors and lawyers that behave the way that we behave as married people and as parents? We just kind of go figure it out. Hope it works. They don't come with a manual. All right, and so being married and having children is a hard thing. Nobody gets it 100% right. I look back on my time as a married man and as a father, and I say, gosh, there are things I wish I had done different along the way. There have been now failures, things that I wish that I had done differently. And so we learn as we go. I've made mistakes, I'm sure I will make more. In the Psalms, we read, if you, Lord, were to mark iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you. And so we have to bring that quote into our families. Spouses with spouses, parents with children, children with parents. If you, Lord, were to mark iniquities, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Thus, it's hard for a child to say to their parent, I dislike you. In fact, I'm writing you off. Because we don't want God to write us off. We can't write each other off. And so we have to have patience, whether you're married, whether it's with a child, and if you're a child with your parent. You have to have patience, and there has to be forgiveness. Families are falling apart these days because we're too busy chasing and buying and competing instead of playing and laughing and loving. I remember a young teenager I met many, many years ago who said, my dad comes to every one of my theater performances. He buys me flowers. He buys me expensive clothes. But what I wish he would do is just come home from work and play basketball with me. I wish we could just hang out behind the garage and shoot baskets. I don't need the shoes. I don't need the purse. I don't need the flowers. I need a dad. That's what it is to be a parent. Not to lavish concessions on your child, but to lavish love on them, to lavish time on them. You know, yesterday morning, I was a loser three times before 8 o'clock in the morning. Three-time loser. As I woke up yesterday morning, I said, good morning, Nicholas. Good morning, Daddy. And what do you want to do today in the little time I have before I go to church? And he opens up the game board, chutes and ladders, Daddy. Let's play that. So we sit on the floor playing chutes and ladders, and I lost the first three games. But I didn't say, let me, you know, tweak the spinner so that it can go my way and I can beat my five-year-old. I say, thank God I won because I'm laying on the floor with my kid playing a board game. So I'm not a three-time loser. I was a big-time winner yesterday, and so was he. That's what it is to be a parent. And finally, faith. Let's talk about faith. We talked about sports, we talked about family, let's talk about faith. First, to the fathers. The father is supposed to be the spiritual leader. Like the father is the spiritual leader in the parish, the father is in the home is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. That's why it always saddens me that it's like the mother that takes the lead in whether the children are going to come to church or not. The mother is always saying, come on, honey, let's go to church. Put the golf clubs away. Let's go to church like a family. That should be the father's job, to be the spiritual leader of this family. And many fathers are failing in that. And so as we celebrate Father's Day, to the fathers who are here, think about that. Think about taking control, taking that leadership role in your family as the spiritual leader. I read an article in the Orthodox Observer the other day, and hopefully you'll read that when it comes. All the metropolitans got together recently for the Archdiocesan Council meeting in anticipation of the Clergy Lady Congress in a couple weeks in Phoenix. And they were lamenting the problem of why do we not have more people in church? And one of the metropolitans said, well, because we put emphasis on the hall and everything that goes on in the hall. And we haven't put emphasis on what goes on at the altar. Ding, ding, ding. You're right. Correct. We've put all this emphasis in the hall and not enough emphasis in the church. We think to ourselves, if we don't offer basketball, they won't come. Let's just sneak some spirituality into the Olympics because we really know they want basketball. They don't really want this. And that's true, guilty as charged. Right? And of course, after all the lament, the article ended without providing a solution to the problem, which I lament. But we know the problem. What is the solution? The solution is we've all got to make this a priority. We've got to make that a priority. We've got to make him the priority. And we don't just talk about the do's and don'ts. We heard about that the other night very well from another young man who spoke to us. Things that will make you have a good life, things that will make you have a failed life. But it's not just about do's and don'ts. It's about celebrating God's love for us right here and now, and the love and the joy that is to come. And we only get that by being here in the presence of God, in front of his holy altar, partaking of Holy Communion, and making him, Jesus Christ, the center of our lives. It's not just about being a good person. It's about being a godly person, and the love of God, understanding what that means. And so as much time as we spend playing basketball, or dancing at the festival, or rolling kularaka, we've got to spend that time reading the Bible. We've got to spend that time praying. We've got to spend that time praying for each other. We've got to spend that time learning the meaning of love and patience and forgiveness and joy. So that when we get to that point and we're on our deathbed, we say to our children, look at the life I had, my family, honesty, integrity. And look at the life I have to look forward to. I look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the ages to come. And prepare yourselves, because while I may die tomorrow, if you live your life in the way I lived mine, then we can share a life together for eternity. That is the speech you want to give when you are about to die. That's the example you want to be as a parent. That's what you want to strive for as a child. And sports is a good way to help lead us there. But it's not the end goal. It's a means to an end when done right. But let's not forget what the end goal is. I look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Amen. Thank you for sharing a wonderful, beautiful weekend. Happy Father's Day again. Welcome to our visitors. We look forward to doing this every year. We hope to welcome you again next year in health and in joy. God bless you.
Amen.